the very heart of our understanding of who we essentially are is the belief that we are creatures of the Creator. We did not make ourselves, but God makes us. God makes all things. We're not alone in this belief. Many people besides Christians believe that a deity of some sort created things as they are or put into motion the processes that would bring things to be as they are. Christians aren't alone in this at all. What distinguishes Christians is the belief that this creation was brought to be through Christ. That Christ is the center of all of this, and that Christ is in all things, and that in Him all things hold together to the purposes which Christ fulfills. Christians believe this, that in Christ all creation holds together in continuity toward the consummation of its purpose in God. The Christians also believe in a cosmic disruption, because we also believe this. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. This startling claim is at the heart of the promise of the gospel, and it seems to say that in Christ the old is gone, it's done, it's over. You can leave behind what is now behind you. In Christ you can begin again. To be in Christ isn't merely to add something spiritual on to an otherwise ordinary, untouched life. It's not to make life a little bit better, or a little bit kinder, or a little more of anything. The power of God in Christ is much too potent for that kind of limited thinking. This is transformation we're talking about. Let's not forget that, lest we tame the gospel in our minds and in our lives and in our prayers and in all creation. When Paul wrote this cosmic claim, he was doing battle with the people in Corinth, people like him, also supposedly made new creatures in Christ. These new creatures in Christ were not getting along with each other. A couple of weeks ago, I described a bit of what we think happened, how Paul visited Corinth to try to bring some order to a disordered mess of a community, how they met him at the door, so to speak, and challenged him in every way they were able. Paul's visit with them was so tense that he ended up leaving. And by the time he writes this second letter to the Corinthians, he's cooled off a little, and so have they. In a spirit of hopeful reflection, Paul reaches beyond their problems to the profound identity that they share. To do that, he reaches for the most dramatic language he can find, creation. If anyone is in Christ, it's new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Now, as dramatic as this is, its abruptness doesn't come across in English all that well. Literally, it would just read, if anyone in Christ, new creation, which is a little clumsy, and so translators have tried to help us understand what it means, and as often happens in doing so, they often domesticate the fullness of the language. Now, one common example of this, and your favorite translation may read this way, mine happens too. It reads something like this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Does yours read this way? Mine does. And it's not that this isn't true. It is for all the he's and for all the she's. The gospel is personal, and its invitation to new life in Jesus is personally offered to each of us. To be in Christ is to be newly made. This is one of the favorite images in all Scripture. And so Jesus tells his nighttime visitor in John 3, you must be born again. You start over. Christian faith is new beginning by which we are made new into something yet unheard of, unprecedented. Baptism, let us remember, and let us remember our own, is a dramatic sign of this newness. As you emerge from the water, breaking the skin of the water, you breathe new life. Let's always remember this. The gospel is personal invitation to new life, personal invitation to you, to new life. New life in Christ is the great promise and hope of the good news. Now, I don't know why it is, but it seems that sometimes we can forget this. Maybe we just take it for granted somehow and we lose sight of just what this is all about. Christianity gets reduced to, we think it's reduced to just do's and don'ts that we hear, or becomes enmeshed in the minutiae of doctrinal formulations, but it is to our diminishment when this happens, because it means we lose the thrill of this Christian life. This life is an adventure of growing like the mustard seed that we heard about. It is an adventure in living in the world as those who embody the power of resurrection. The do's and don'ts and doctrines help us in this path, but they are not the path. They are the music. Christian life is the dance. Have we lost sight of this? How's that even possible? This new creature that God has brought to being in you has spiritual power. This new creature has the power of faith. This new creature has the power of hope. This new creature has the power of love. This new creature carries the gift of grace. You have the power of faith to believe even in suffering. You have the power of hope even in fear. You have the power of love even for your adversaries. You have the gift of grace in your creatureliness when you fall short of who you are made and remade to be. This grace means you are never a lost cause. You are never a total failure. You'll make mistakes. You'll turn away from the gift of your identity. You'll hurt people. You'll hurt yourself. God didn't make you a robot or an angel or the fourth person of the Trinity, but you are a new creature. Creature you were first made to be is wonderful and holy and blessed, formed from the dust of the ground, made by the hand of God in a divine image. You were given a mind, a conscience, and a will. And now in Christ, you are made complete. Christ is the Omega to our beginnings, Alpha. In Him is the fullness, the completeness, the consummation of all we are intended to be. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. This is good news. And yet even this is not all. If anyone is in Christ, new creation. We've added in the he or the she to remind us of the personal nature of the new creation. And yet the sentence as it stands most startlingly in the original language is even more profound. Remember, if anyone is in Christ, new creation. The old things have passed away. All things are made new. Do you see it? Do you see what's there? The vision is cosmic. It's as vast as the universe itself. That's what's made new. I used to have a professor who'd say something like, the world didn't change on September 11th, like everyone is saying. As awful as it was, that's not the day the world changed. We just woke up to the way the world already was. The day the world changed was in 33 AD at the resurrection. On that day, the world began to be something new that it truly wasn't before. I used to nod very knowingly when he would say this, and I really didn't understand what he meant. But I know that we can use some more of the newness we're promised that is true of this world, even if this world is as it remains, as it was before. That I understand. I understand that the world changed, and yet the world is still as it was in many ways. I understand the creation still groans, waiting for the children of God to be revealed. This hopeful promise still does its work on me on those days when I'm discouraged by the world and by the world as it exists in me. Some days are like living under a dark cloud when that reality is just too real of the world as it has always been. Those days when I can't see how any possible good is worth separating asylum-seeking mamas from their babies at a nation's border. When I can't see how we're going to stop destroying the environment in every creative way we can come up with. When I can't see how the violence in our culture from birth to death can be transformed into peaceableness. When I look in the mirror and see all the faults and failures in my own life. Those can be dark days. Maybe you have them too. On those days of discouragement, it can be hard to remember that we live in a resurrection-shaped world that changed the world. But we must, because we do. This is what we believe. This is what I believe. I believe the world really has changed, and it's our vocation to join God in the redemption of all things, which is happening. Teilhard de Chardin thought the same thing. He said, the resurrection makes things so new, it's like the resurrection is the new Big Bang. It's like the new, let there be light, and there is light. The resurrection is the new beginning of the whole creation. It was not just a demonstration of God's promise of eternal spiritual life for those who believe. It changed the character of the universe. Never before had we lived in a universe so clearly drawn toward the divine purpose, even through death, but now in Christ we do. Never before did the mechanisms governing the universe so blatantly be overcome as at the empty tomb, but now they are. Never before had the crooked will of man been so gleefully transformed, but Christ is risen and the world has changed. If you have eyes to see, the old has passed away. All things have become new. And there seems to be a sharp line drawn there between the past and the present, and yet we know that line can feel awfully blurry. It's here in Scripture, here in our hearts, that we come right up against the headwinds of such a hopeful doctrine. If the world has changed and is a new creation, why is the world still like this? If I'm a new creation, why am I like I am? Why do I do what I don't want to do? Why don't I do what I do want to do? Oh, wretched person that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? It's still our prayer. This tension runs all through Scripture, and it runs through our lives. I can believe I'm made new in some disconnected spiritual sense, but I sure act like I'm just an old wineskin. The creation may be remade, but it sure looks and acts on a whole lot of days and a whole lot of places like it always did. This is the reality we face in the mirror and in the faces of our friends and colleagues. It's the reality we know to be true of ourselves, our communities, and everything. I think this is the point Paul was making in 2 Corinthians, in the middle of all that tension with those people. Their disappointment with him, his frustrations with them. They were caught in this vortex of discouragement, realizing that their faith didn't fix their problems. It made them worse. Because now they understood something of spiritual significance was at stake in everything. And how they treated one another and the most vulnerable and the earth and their bodies, and their relationships, and their prayers, and their doctrines, and their do's and don'ts, that everything mattered. Everything is connected. Life has meaning, real meaning, even if my life doesn't look that way most days. Not in the way it should. Not in the way it should, redeemed and sanctified by the majestic divine transformation we're promised in Christ. None of this is denied here on the page. It's all right there on the page in black and white. All too familiar aspects of life in these bodies with these hearts and these minds with these mouths. You know what I mean, don't you? The new creation isn't a world in which all things are made perfect. Yet. This is life. With all of its pains and problems, its uncertainties and its hardships. We know that full well. Life has its peaks and, oh, it has its valleys. Some of them are dark. When we take our place in the new creation, we look around and we wonder about this. We're among people who are unfinished, immature, neurotic, sometimes hurtful, and so are we. All these other people around me sing off key a lot of the time, and so do I. Maybe we're a little loath to admit it, but this new creation some days looks a lot like the old one in a lot of ways. But there's something more if you have eyes to see. That this life is a miracle, and it's being renewed day by day. You are waking up to something that is so much bigger than any one of us. We are participating in the cosmic spiritual revolution, renewing all that is and was and will be. Christ is the center of the universe, its beginning and its end, the Alpha and the Omega. We are seeds planted in the heart of the world, growing slowly, but growing nonetheless, sending our roots deeper into the good soil and our branches through all the world. Because of this, and only because of this, into the world bursts forth true hope. Let there be light. And there is light. Christian faith is believing that the world changed at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that our lives can join that change, our lives living from this hope in this reality by which Christ, who's present in all things and whom all things hold together, is drawing the world to the fulfillment of its purpose by the Creator. So wake up, O sleeper. Wake up. The new day has begun. The light of the world is shining in you, and its light fills the darkness of the world with hope. Amen.